There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Let's get some more detail on one of our top stories. It is earnings season at the moment. Many of the big UAE companies reporting their financial results for 2018, including Air Arabia. And I'm delighted to say that the Chief Executive Officer, Adel Ali, is with us in the studio. Good morning, Adel.
Good morning, Richard.
Let's begin with the underlying business. Quarterly profit, 26 million dirhams. Revenue for the year up by 10%. Let's talk about the underlying performance of the airline.
It's been continuously good, no different than the other years, except we've managed to get a good cross the 4 billion in revenue, passenger up 10, seat factor consistent 81% on what was supposed to be a soft year. So I think fundamentally everything has been excellent and good. Very happy with the performance.
You're reaching maturity now. It's well over a decade since Air Arabia launched. And any business, when it reaches maturity, it's more difficult to grow. Much easier in the early days. How are you growing the business now? You've got these three hubs already. You're well established in Sharjah, now running out of Ras Al Khaimah. Where is there left to grow for Air Arabia?
Well, 2018, the growth came, quite a sizable growth from our hubs in Morocco. We've added 26 routes in totality, and mainly it was about six of them from Sharjah. But the rest of it were from Morocco and Egypt. Egypt is a new market. We've actually slowed down in Egypt during the years back, but now it's the economy is booming, the tourism coming back into Egypt. So that market for us is also doing extremely well.
And looking at the figures, it looks like you're charging good fees, because the increase in passenger numbers was just 5%, yet the increase in revenue was 10%. Is that because you managed to increase your fares, or is it because people are simply flying on longer journeys and the fare is higher?
A combination of it, but I think the yield has taken an improvement in 2018, and that purely when you get to an 80% and plus seat factor, you can afford charging a little bit. But the other bit that people are spending more money is on ancillary revenues, on food and drinks and insurance buying and rent a car and all that, which adds to our bottom line as well.
Let's talk about the challenge that you've had this year, and it's related to Abraj Group. I'm reading from your statement yesterday, and it says, following the board of directors' proposed impairment in relation to the group's financial exposure in private equity firm Abraj, the carrier will report an accumulated loss of 307 million dirhams, subject to ratification by shareholders and so on. In simple terms, explain the situation here. What's happened and how do we resolve this?
Well, I think, you know, the Abraj issue, obviously, as you described it reasonably well, one of the largest private equity fund in the Middle East and North Africa, and they extended globally. Us and quite a number of investors, international and local investor, are involved. We had to take a pragmatic, brave and a logical decision in one way to ensure that our investment is protected through the legal system, and we'll continue doing that. But on the other hand, we need to focus on the business and move the business forward. So we decided to take a one-off loss 1 year and move on to life as normal as we move into 2019. And that this is obviously will be presented to the shareholder as and when we meet in March. And if it's approved, then I think the Abraj issue is a provision that will remain in the books as and when we get the money back, it will be adding to the bottom line profit. But for the year and years ahead, the company does not have to accrue anything or look into those numbers every quarter that we close it as a publicly listed company. So I think we had a number of options. All of them were difficult. And the board of directors felt that the best one is to put the problem behind you from a day-to-day management and move it into the legal hands to manage it. And by doing that, all what it means is, as this year, 2019, closes, and if the business stays as is, which has been a good start to the year, we expect to be Air Arabia back to its normal and back to its dividend distribution.
Has this issue, though, changed the sort of company's investment psychology overall? Are you going to be doing different things with your money?
Well, I think, you know, one has to learn by hindsight few things. The return on investment at the time was very good. We are generally conservative in where we put our money and how we put it. Of course, whatever money is needed, and the main objective of keeping the money is for the need of the business and the expansion of the operation. And I think this particular time, it's probably private equity in future will be much more careful in putting it in. But we hope that we will be diversifying our expenditure and expansion of our business. And I think the year and the next year, we probably will need quite a sizable amount of money to expand on the new aeroplanes that we're getting into the field.
So let's look at what happens next. Big plans for 2019. In terms of where you take Air Arabia for the next 15 years, and you've been at the helm for all of those 15 years. If we look at long-term strategy, will Air Arabia change? Will it have to change and adapt? Or fundamentally, is the model going to stay the same?
I think the model will be always dictated by the customer's needs. What we're seeing is the low-cost business model is expanding and it's getting bigger. And we're also witnessing that quite a number of conventional airlines around the world turning into an LCC model. We've seen significant of changes in Europe. And I think, therefore, as long as we get an 80-plus seat factor and we're able to expand the business, I live in a philosophy of don't fix it if it's not broken. And it's doing well for us. So the future for us is to make sure that we look at opportunities into new hubs to expand that business. We're getting, of course, an airplane in March. The first of A321, new long haul, that will allow us to go further afield in different parts of the world.
We've seen actually Fly Dubai doing exactly that, going further afield. Where are your ambitions?
Well, I think we've not covered Southeast Asia. We've got some rights to get into China that we have not been able to fly to. Certain parts of Europe, but Africa, we think is another opportunity for us. So the list is long, but we'll be announcing those as we move on.
Four hubs at the moment. You let Amman go a while back. So you've got Sharjah, Morocco, Egypt, and Ras Al Khaimah. The Ras Al Khaimah one is a few aircrafts up there, and you're doing wonders in bringing tourism in for the Emirate. What about any other hubs in this immediate region?
I think there are a number of sort of project and works going on at the moment. Obviously, it takes some time because every country has got its own laws and regulations. But there should be hubs within the region, and we're also looking at a few outside the region as well.
As you go further afield, and we know that these single-dial jets, the 737 MAX or the A321 that you've got, Neo, they can fly to London, they can fly to Bangkok. Any plans to put more comfortable seats in parts of these aircraft, either some kind of comfort economy or maybe even a business class offering?
I think that's one of the things that we have looked at times and times over again, and we will continue doing it based on supply and demand. But at the moment, economically and the customer demand tells us that a single class works, and that's where the major demand is.
Let's talk about India. All UAE airlines would love to expand their route network into India, but there are aeropolitical issues that prevent that. Where do we stand with that?
In a nutshell, there hasn't been much change.
There was a big conference, wasn't there, a couple of weeks ago in India, but where they hoped to agree something, but nothing really came out of it, did there, in Mumbai?
Very true, Richard. I think that the relation between India and UAE is one of excellent at the present, and there seem to be a lot of conferences and a lot of the trade meetings. But on the aeropolitical side, there has been very little move in the last few years. And all the airlines that operating on the routes, whether they're Indian carriers or UAE carriers, are operating at extremely high seat factor, above 90%, which demands extra capacity.
Adil Ali, we'll have to leave it there. Great talking to you. Really appreciate your time this morning. Adil Ali is the Chief Executive Officer of Air Arabia.
Thank you.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.